Somebody shout better things. Yeah, we participate in this service, okay? You shouted like you want God to do something awesome in your life. I'm trusting that's true this morning, okay? Better things.
Better things.
Yeah, we're turning the corner here. Yeah, he said, because the context is some are falling away, and I've met some this week like that. They're falling away, and some are giving up on what they first believed. And some are going back to the old systems of thought. Look at my title. You'll see it's there. They're going back to that old system because it's too challenging. But he said, not you. Not you. Not you. You're not going to give up. That's what he says. Or burn out, missionaries. Or fade away, those going through a calling. We speak in this way. It does happen. Yet in your case, beloved, we feel sure of better things. Things to belong to salvation. And I want to preach to you today for a few moments with God's help on the subject of when better feels backwards. Right? Better than religious systems. And better than worldly pleasures. Sounds kind of churchy, but that's the truth of it. That's my title. And that took longer than it did to write this thing. Because sometimes that in alone of itself is hard to see. I don't know. What could be better than worldly pleasures, some of you may be thinking. And for others, you say, the heck with the church. I've heard too much. I've seen too much over here. I've seen too much over there. I read too much in the news. I'm going back to what I know works, my religious system that's worked for me. So when better feels backwards, and I pray that this might encourage you, and let's pray one more time before we take this into something deeper. Pray with me. God, if I share my opinion today, it will be close to worthless. And if I shift from human wisdom today and into that, going deeper into human wisdom, it'll have a very short shelf life. But your word is eternal. So speak now, we're listening. Give us open hearts to receive the things that you desire to say. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 And I get out of the way. And I get out of the way. Tell the person sitting next to you, you've never looked better. If the Lord has to forgive you for lying, you were just doing what the preacher said, okay? You've never looked better. EJ, never looked better. I'm just saying to you, my neighbors. Joy, you've never looked better. Karen, you've never looked better. Billy, you've never looked better. And you've had a long day. Living out of a box right now, both y'all. Never looked better. You ever met a perfectionist? Are you one? Out of the 9 types of personalities, I think it's number 1. Yeah. I don't know if you want to be number 1 on that one. Yeah, number 1. I have some of those traits. Their motto is, if you look at their motto, it could always be, yeah. And I thought about how it could be such a wonderful thing. Got to go there, find the good in that. And if you're trying to make something great, create something special, but it could be a horrific way, horrible way to approach everyday life. It takes a lot of energy, and it could always be better. And you meet these people every once in a while. I just recently hung out with a guy who got a sweet raise from his company here on the island. And sweet raise. In fact, the bonus came right before that, so he got a bonus and a sweet raise. And I congratulate him, and he just said, oh, I wish my tax bill is going to go through the roof, okay? Unreal. Just already jumping there. Things could always be better. And I know it might be kind of annoying, but I think we ought to thank God for the perfectionists hanging out in our midst that are there. I know they're annoying, but who do you want designing the plane that you're flying in, right? The guy who just kind of glues the wings on, whatever sticks, just sticks there. You got to have them. They're around. And also, the blessings of seeking perfection, just kind of going after that. Maybe yet there's a byproduct to it. So many times in our lives is that we often have this quest. I know in our families, and look at the Cannell situation, look at the Hobbs situation just 10 years ago. Maybe if we move here, life could be better, right? If we trade schools for the kids, or we homeschool, or we, you know, get rid of this in our system, or this administration thinks differently, and maybe life will get better. And what do they say? The grass is not always... Yeah, I've heard that. Oh, everybody knows that one. Wow, okay. The challenge from the author of Hebrews is this. He's writing to a group of Christians whose life is getting worse. Now, if you're on social media over the last 2 to 3 weeks, you would say it's pretty rough right now. Life, for some, and I'm not excluding myself, can seem like it's getting worse. And they've accepted Jesus as the Messiah, these folks that he's talking to. And that has caused a lot of arduous counterparts to think that they're nuts. And they've absolutely lost their minds to following the teachings of a carpenter who was crucified on a Roman cross. So now this group of Christians in Rome is being written to encourage, don't go back. Don't go back. And just look at somebody next to you that's been tempted lately and say, don't go back. Wake them up. Say, don't go back, okay? Don't go back to the old way of doing it because this way is better. Don't do that, okay? That's the temptation. That's the temptation. And the Christians in Rome who are about to face severe persecution, you understand? This is the precursor. What's coming is Nero is about to crank up the persecution. After doing a ton of reading in the background of this, I could not fathom how much crap was about to hit the fan for these Christians. So Paul starts them out. It's like this pep rally as you're going into doom. Get in there, guys. It is, don't go back. Don't go back. Nero is about to turn this up right now. And this is for anybody who's going through something right now. Anybody going through anything right now? Okay. Yeah. It's all right if you have sweat rings under your arm. That just admits it. Yeah, I'm right there with you. Yeah, but it can be just, maybe it's just unfamiliar territory. Maybe it's just unfamiliar territory of trying to live by grace. Maybe it's just unfamiliar territory of trying to live by faith. When you're constantly being tempted to live by logic, calculation, what is fair, the temptation to control what God is telling you, my friends, to let go of and to surrender. There's a temptation to go back to the old ways. He is telling them, do not even go there. Don't think that way. Don't go back. Jesus is better. He tells them that 13 times in the book of Hebrews. 13 times he uses this word. A perfectionist really likes it. In the Greek here, okay? And it almost sounds like something you put in your salad. The word is kriton, okay? Translated better, better in quality, better in comparison, better in substance. Jesus is better. I got four, good. Jesus is better. He's better because he made something better. And he's better than your covenant, by the way. The old covenant, a covenant that's getting old. God didn't make an agreement with humanity. He made an agreement with his son. He knows that you have a hard time holding up your end of the bargain. So rather than turning around and make an agreement with what would be our fickle faith, okay, he made an agreement with his faithful son who was obedient even unto death. He followed through. Death on the cross. He did it better. Amen. Finalized it. He says that we have a better hope, not the kind of hope that only works when things are going in your direction, but the kind of hope that is like an anchor for your soul. It is a better hope because an anchor only works when it hits what? The bottom. Thank you. There's a certain kind of hope that floats. 1989. Yeah, the movie. As long as everything's going great on the surface, you feel as if there's something, and it's a better hope. a cry tone hope, a hope that gets down to the bottom and it doesn't fully function at all and serve its intended purpose until it hits rock bottom, until you've bottomed in your emotions, until you've bottomed in your bank account, and to your health, my gosh, bottoms out, and you feel that that's the worst. It's all happening. This church is under persecution. The name, the people, the staff, the members, whatever, until you hit the bottom. Somebody shout better. That's right. Until you know you have a better hope in Jesus, it's not going to get better. You must realize Jesus makes it better. He's better. Kriton, he is better. He's supreme. Better covenant, better hope, better promises. The Bible says that Jesus had a better ministry. Not only a better ministry, but that his blood speaks a better word. So when condemnation and crap hits the fan socially in this town, it rises up in your heart to tell you these things. And they're powerful. They are powerful. They are very powerful, and they're wicked, these things that can be said. God has got this enemy, guys, that you cannot see. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, and this stuff is hitting the fan, and it's hard. And then these things hit you, and they hit me personally, and they tell you what you are not. Remember for a moment who Jesus is. And if he went to the holy places of holies, when that drop of blood hit the mercy seat, it spoke over your life a future and a hope that is better. And it doesn't matter what has been, because of what is ahead is better. But I'm getting ahead of myself. And this week I've turned the corner. This is God's church. This is his kingdom. He's the one that's better. There is no perfect church. We go to Jesus. We stay with him. You see, better here, especially in Avalon, better subjective. Right? Some things are just better than others, objectively. iOS versus Android. Golly. Kanye West over Lecrae. He's got a new rap album out. Interesting. Chick-fil-A or KFC? Do I need to even go there? I know they're closed on Sundays. That hurts. Krispy Kreme over Dunkin' Donuts. Do I need to have the conversation with you? Just put that little ring baby of glazed awesomeness in your mouth. It is over, my friends. Okay? The carbohydrates will do nothing for you. It is just that eternal feeling of awesomeness. Coca-Cola over Pepsi, John? Do I go there? Better subjective when it comes to things that really matter in life. I think it's perspective. It's very subjective. You know why you think some people's lives are better than yours? Because you see the parts they show you. They might have a better house, but what the heck is going on inside? And see, you don't know which one's better. Well, if you live long enough, you won't find that some of the people you spent some of your time envying are secretly miserable inside. You may never know that. Better is perspective. Better is not necessarily something you can measure or what you can see with your eyes. We all live in a world where you got to get the new iPhone 11. Come on. I mean, you got to have it. But my gosh, the texts I'm receiving right now on my little 8 aren't going to look any better on an iPhone 11, my friends. But you got to have it. It's got the camera with the X-ray vision and all the stuff that's in there, right? Got to do that. It's better. Oh, yeah, it's better. I mean, we're getting hit hard, man. It's November. Black Friday is now Black Monday through Sunday. It is crazy. Everybody wants you to get it. And see, the writer of Hebrews goes all the way back. He goes all the way back to get the people to move forward. Catch that? To get them to go forward, he goes all the way back because all the way back, he knows, is the only way that they will see what's going down and get their faces in on what's really happening, and they have to go backwards backwards. Better? I thought I'd be better by now. You are. Look what you started. You remember when you weren't even going to church? Right? Do you remember when you weren't even going to church? You're going to church. You got a pen. Some of you are going to steal it today, but it's okay. You stole it from a church. That's fine. But you're holding one. You're taking notes. You may not know these songs, but you're looking at the words on the screen. It's life-changing stuff. Some of you actually have an app on your phone. You're reading the Word of God. You're better. I'm doing better. Oh, my gosh. Look at somebody and say, I'm doing better. You have no idea. If you could see my bloodline. If you could see my bloodline. I'm doing better. I'm doing better. If you could see the thoughts that I did not act on. Oh, my gosh. If you could see the temptations that I did resist, I promise you, I'm doing better. See, it's objective. And it's relative. Better compared to what? Every time I stand up here and preach, and I only get one sermon, so my head's down in my notes quite a bit because it's pretty fresh stuff. And I'm looking at this and I'm going, every time I preach, I have some of this perfectionist style in me that the sermon could be better. Of course it could. I'm speaking on behalf of God. And the gap between what he knows and what I say will always be a huge gap. So I always understand you could always be better. And it torments me. Sometimes it truly does. My wife and I were talking about it this week. About a couple of folks that came into church recently, and I just felt like my energy was down. My delivery sucked. You know? Because a lot of times, you know, I get used to doing things a certain way. Remember, these people that the author is writing to are so eloquently not unfamiliar with religion. They came up from the religious system, not out of a meth lab, okay? They're not being tempted to go back into the world. They're tempted to go back to an old religious system. I want nothing to do with that, okay? I mean, one of the primary functions of my family entering this mission field is to get rid of religious spirit. And I say amen to my own comment right there. And it's not been easy. And it's still not easy. The author makes an argument that you should be farther along by now. Don't drift away from grace. You should be teachers by now. My friends, you're still dealing with the basics. Then he says that if you fall away from grace, that it's impossible to come back. And when I read that, I got depressed until I realized what he was saying. And that is that you ever, you know, if you ever really received grace, the real grace, you can't really fall away. You're orbiting grace. If you receive it, real grace, you can't fall away from that. What he's teaching them is hard to receive. Better is relative. When the writer of Hebrews says, we are convinced better things concerning you, brothers and sisters, he's writing to an entire church that's under persecution. It's dealing with depression. And it's not about to get better, it's about to get worse. It's kind of hard to hear when your situation is getting worse. You ever had somebody tell you something that was meant to make you feel better, but it actually had the opposite effect? And you're just like blinking, you know, the Tom Hanks Apollo 13 thing. When you hear the news, you can't take the main gun. You're just sitting there going, thank you. Thank you for that. This wet blanket just lays right on top of you. Because your life keeps getting worse, the last thing you want to hear is, this is going to get better. Jesus Christ, better than worldly pleasures. Jesus Christ, better than religious systems. Christ, better than Moses, who was the leader that Israel knew and revered, and Jesus Christ is better. Kriton, he is better, used to describe the covenant. Some people had a surface level of hope. So for everybody who has hit rock bottom, either this week or last, and emotionally you have felt barbecued, whether it's in your physical health, your bank account, or whatever it may be, I want you to know there's a hope that is better than the passing pleasures. It's better than the fleeting aspirations of this world or any cruise ship that comes in and revenues rise, or even if the casino stays open. I'm letting you know there is something way bigger, and it's way better, and it's going to carry you way further. And it says, I'm convinced better things concerning you. My friends, the battle that is going on in our town over things that are trivial, Paul reminds us, this stuff is what really matters. You get this stuff right, and you will see where things can fit and where priorities fall. Here's what I need you to know. It's relative. Better needs a point of reference in order to be judged. Y'all catch that? But with the things that are really important, the things that really matter, I wonder sometimes, do we confuse with what is really better with what truly is better? A friend of mine had a liver transplant, and this was almost 4 years ago. And when he went into surgery, as a lot of things do, and they do a major organ transplant like that, his body ultimately rejected it, right? I mean, there's that stage that goes through, especially open heart surgery, anything that involves a major organ, when something new is introduced. The challenge with the church in Rome is that they're walking in a new covenant, but the old one feels better. The challenge for some of us as God is moving in our life is that we are in a rejection state right now where we're trying to assimilate new truth in an old life and into an old mindset, and the temptation is to go back to bad because sometimes bad feels better. Make sense? Y'all tracking with me? Okay, three of us? Great. A lot of people go back to bad relationships because bad feels better. It's true. Sometimes we go back to bad patterns of thinking because we're more familiar than with the new ways requiring faith and the new opportunities where doors open. I'd rather not take that step of risk into this new opportunity because I have no idea where that could lead, and right now I feel safe. Y'all tracking with me? Especially parents in here, administrators in here. More risk, I'm not sure. Sometimes we go back to something bad and we go backwards because what is new isn't working at first. Listen to me. To get caught up in social media stuff, obviously something may not be working at first, or something new may seem like it's rejected at first. Most of these things that grace was introduced to in your life for, these operating systems called faith, you're going to feel worse at first. And yet the writer of Hebrews says to you and me and to this church, it's a precious people who are striving to follow the ways of Christ, and yet their life is getting worse. He says, don't go back. Don't go back. What you have now, trust me, it's better. Yeah, but if it's better, why is my situation getting worse? But if it's better, why do I keep struggling with this? It's an interesting thing about sin. Until you resist it, you don't know how strong it really is. When you first start resisting sin, and let's don't call out the one that church people like to talk about. Let's call it something that usually doesn't make the big list, okay? How about self-pity? All right, somebody thought I was going to touch on smoking or something like you've quit for 12 years and whatnot. I'm not doing that one, okay? I'm coming up on the real one here. How about this one? Self-pity. Feels better than owning and becoming accountable for the things that God is doing in your life. So let's say God is delivering you from self-pity. And when you feel yourself pulled back to self-pity, don't be surprised when you go back to the old way. Don't be surprised, because if it's not that you're not a new creation, it's just because sometimes backwards feels better. Are y'all listening to me? It just feels better. When you have been doing something wrong for long enough, the right way feels awkward. I wanted a hobby when I was younger, and real young, I started playing tennis. There wasn't a whole lot to do where I grew up. There was a city hall down the street that had a wall of concrete in the back, and I just started pounding a tennis ball that I found around the tennis courts. I found an extra ball, and I just started pounding it. And I pounded it, and I pounded it, and I just started loving the sport, just enjoying it. I pretty much just did something I could do alone. And then I joined the team at my school, and things progressed. And long story short, I remember as a young man, moving to my young adult years, I heard of Yvonne Goolagong. My wife loves that name. Anyone heard of Yvonne Goolagong? Is there anyone? Oh, my goodness. Thank you. All right. Mid, early 70s, late 70s. Yvonne Goolagong, Chris Everett, all of them. Virginia Wade, Billie Jean, all of them were Wimbledon champions, Yvonne Goolagong included. She settled into our area and was offering $10 tennis lessons. So I was like, you know what? I had a job, so I decided to invest some of my money. Long story short, first day I showed up, I went to, she just wanted to see what I had. She was like, let's see where we're going to start. And I went to serve, and I pounded this ball as hard as I could. And I just missed the top of the tape, and it went into the net itself, the black part of the net. And she was like, okay. She goes, let's work on your toss. So she did that, and then she goes, let me see your grip. And I showed her, and she kind of put her finger in here, and she made me like halfway rotate my grip. I mean, I had never done that before. Ever done that before. Like I said, I grew up really young, pounding this thing on a wall, and I learned my way. And Yvonne comes along, Miss Goolagong, and she looks at me and she says, you need to twist that a little bit and stick your finger in here. That's the measure you want in this grip. And I started serving. Balls were going over the fence, man. I looked like Hank Aaron. They were gone. I'm like, what the heck? I just paid you, Wimbledon lady, to change my game. Sometimes in your life, you're going to feel like going backwards. And the temptation will be to revert back to something that worked. And I tried to turn the other cheek. Oh, my gosh, they hit that one, too. Now I'm going to do what I know how to do. I tried to be generous. I tried to surrender control. I tried to stop manipulating people. I tried to be still and know that he was God. It didn't work, but God said, this is a season. And I'm going to fix your grip. I'm going to show you how to bring that in. I'm going to show you something new. See, all of your life, you've been doing it a certain way. Hobbs, you're included in this. And it worked for a little while, but you've been tuned in to grace now. Now is a better way. This is a better covenant. This is a better high priest. And this is a better approach. This is a better resurrection. Amen? Somebody shout better.
Better.
Wake up. It doesn't feel better. Sometimes the temptation is to always go back when you feel like it's not getting better. I mean, I used to have friends. Then I joined this church. I used to have neighbors. Now they don't speak to me. My friends kicked me out of the synagogue. Imagine what it would have been like to be a new Christian in the Roman Empire. Huh. The religion you came from now wants to eliminate you. Imagine what it would have been like. Here comes the writer of Hebrews and he says, my friends, I know you won't see it this way, but it's going to get better. You must have a different definition of better than what I see on Instagram. They must have a different definition of what is on Facebook. I wonder what your definition of better is. I wonder what is your standard. Better is relative. Oh, well, I'm not one of those good Christians. There's only one Christian. He's the name Christ with the chin at the end. It is the main man. The rest of us are just following one failure at a time. They don't like me over here. I'm going to see what's going on over here. I'm going to move around. Do you hear me? Y'all listening this morning? there's a better Christian than me, perhaps. They memorize Scripture. No, they're a better memorizer. That's the truth of it. That doesn't make them a better Christian. Sometimes we get better backwards. Well, if I was more famous, yeah, that's it. We'll have some idea. If I was more famous, we'd have some idea of what it looks like to be better. We all have some idea. It's like something would be much better if I had followers in life. A lot more followers, right? Really? Would it really be better? Have any of you ever met a miserable, rich person? Anybody ever met a miserable, rich person? I could introduce you to a few. They're more miserable than a person who's miserable who wants to get rich. Because while you're trying to get rich, you go to tell yourself that if I get rich, I'll be better. But then when you get money, you still feel miserable because better is not a byproduct of external circumstances improving. It's not. Watch this. Sometimes it gets better, sometimes it doesn't, and you do. Is there anybody in the house this morning? This is the word, Reed. You better carry this baton next week, brother. No music playing in the background. This is good preaching. Somebody shout better. Better! It's so difficult for us to believe that it's going to get better before it's getting worse. Something's happening to me on the inside. I want to believe that it's a lot of confident text messages. I could not tell you how many I'm getting. I cannot tell you how many emails I am behind right now. It's impossible. None of those things. My phone has been off more than it's been on. I've been in the wilderness. I've been in places where I can hear from God. I'm letting you know that things are going to get better. It's so difficult for me to believe that it's getting better because I'm comparing my real life sometimes to somebody else's fake life. She's the reason you feel that everybody's happier, that you're not seeing these things, and she's this reason, or he's this reason. They're hiding parts from you. They're hiding things from you. They only let you see some of those things. You're only seeing the version of them that they want to broadcast. I walked into Guitar Center with my family, and this was a few years ago. Harrison was going to get his very first guitar, and Guitar Center was trusted just because we had one back where we came from. And I remember everybody was talking over here and testing some stuff. And I remember the one that I saw that he wanted. And it was a big investment. He was going to put some money down, and we were going to help with that with a Christmas gift from ourselves. And I remember asking this guy if, because I didn't know what the heck I was talking about. John wasn't around, guitar maniac. And I was going to upgrade his guitar to something that amplified a little better. And I remember asking one of those guys who had been in this place for many, many years, and if you've ever gone to Guitar Center, there's some interesting people behind the counter there. They've got a heck of a lot of stories of where they played. And I said, like a nerd, which one of these is better? You know what he said? Get ready to shout over this, okay? Depends on what you want to use it for. You better be listening. I got happy. I spoke to all of my insecurities right there. It depends on the purpose. Which one is better for what God intended you to do? You're a perfect fit for it. There's nobody better to do it. There's nobody more qualified to do it. There's nobody who can do what you do when God put you where he put you and you give him what you got. Amen? There's nobody better than what you're called to do. Whew. Like Golden State over the Lakers. Okay, maybe not. Adidas over Nike. I'm better. I'm going to stop with this, but I want to speak to somebody who's telling yourself that somebody could do it better than me. There's somebody more fit than me. I hear that all the time. They're a better secretary. They're faster than me. Don't hand me the ball. I don't know how to be a captain. I'll never learn this job fast enough for what they're demanding me to do. Somebody more fit than me, has got more knowledge than me. Sometimes God needs somebody who is lesser so he can show that he's better. If you're writing something down, I'd write that down. On what basis is my confidence that it's going to get better? That Guitar Center dude, they always have something like angelic to say. That sucker went right into my heartstrings. No pun intended. I sat right back there and I go, that was a really good answer. And I got on my phone and I just put it in my notes. I love that answer. And I wrote down what he said. All the way back to chapter 1. Takes him all the way back to chapter 1 of Hebrews. You know, sometimes you got to go back to get better. If some of us compared our lives right now to where we should be, oh my gosh. Touch somebody and say, you have no idea. Wake them up. You have no idea what's in my bloodline. Sometimes you look back over the things that afflicted you, and you realize that those very same things that developed you and were painful have developed you into the very person that you are. Better is relative. My friends, push through the difficult circumstances. I'd have a better sense of appreciation if I was smart instead of walk around going, man, if I had a better golf cart. You ever done that? Instead of going, I like my golf cart. I'm thankful for my golf cart. I mean, you could want that if you have a better driver of a golf cart. My gosh, the people flipping golf carts. How is that possible? Okay. I know you want to go back sometimes. Because depression, giving up on the belief that it can never get better, it's a lot easier. I'm cut open right now on the surgeon's table, but I'm getting better. Although it doesn't look better yet, God is doing some infrastructure work on me that's important, and I'm getting better. Is that your testimony this morning? I'm filleted. I'm laying right here in front of my Savior. I don't look like much, but God's doing something in my heart. You know, when that happens, things start to change around you. For some people, they receive a calling. It's big. For others, it's something prophetic. If there's something there that's beyond that. When you're laying wide open for your Savior, you're flat on your back, who knows what God could say? Who knows where it will go when you're listening? What could be better than to know the incarnate Son of God? What could be better than that? The reason the people missed Jesus when he came is because they were looking for something better. But yet, God snuck into Bethlehem looking like a baby in a manger. Is there anybody with me this morning? I got a question. Are you looking at better but haven't recognized it yet? Has God allowed your eyes in the season that you're in to be right in front of something that your spirit has not yet ascertained? Some of us don't know how good we have it. Some of us are looking in the way wrong direction. Not too long ago, I asked one of my kids to list 5 things that can make our life better. And my son, Harrison, wrote back, our lives are about as good as they get, Dad. I thank God for that answer. Kids, shut me up. I didn't need 4 more answers. I got the one I was looking for. My son helped me recognize my experience and all the stuff I've been going through for 10 years that has caused me to forget. Some of us need to go back to our first love. I know with Wayne Herps and myself, our kids are speaking into our lives now. They're mentoring us. That's a joyful thing, parents. I don't know if you're at that stage yet. Billy, you got a few more years to go. Some of the little ones here. But it's coming. I don't know who I'm preaching to today. But if you were to go back and you would realize that God has made you for so much better, that he's treated you so much better than your sin deserves. Kriton is better. It's better. Mercy is better than sacrifice. You know what the writer said? He said it's better to have a little crust with peace than a house full with strife. Some of you, I don't have much, but the crumb I have is better. I'm grateful for this peace. I'm grateful for this little bit. It's better. And he said he spoke through his son, and we missed him. We missed him, God says, because we deemed him insignificant, just like we missed some of the best moments of our life because we're waiting on something else that's better. He said he's spoken through his son. The word became flesh. That's Jesus. He's the heir of all things, in whom all things created the world. Next verse. He's the radiance of the glory of God. I'm in Hebrews, the very first section there. The exact imprint of his nature. And he holds up the universe by the word of his power. And after making purification for sins, what happens? What happens? He sat down. It says, look at it. At the right hand of majesty on high. The next verse tripped me up because I couldn't understand it. And this week, I actually wasn't going to include it until I backed up because somebody reminded me one time, do not preach on anything that you do not understand. Okay? And I dove a little deeper, and it hit me. It said, having become as much. Kriton. Okay? Better. Translated here, superior. As much better. Kriton. As the angels. As the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. How many know his name is higher? Canellis, his name is higher. We started with Jesus. We ended our prayer with Jesus. We started with a Jesus in this, and we ended a song with Jesus. I'm letting you know. How many know that he has the name that is exalted above every name? How many know that every name you can name has to bow to that name? When we speak the name, whether you're in Nepal or Jordan, Southern California, or Avalon School with the ultimate bully in your face, you speak the name. Speak the name. He's better. It says the Creator is better than what he created. Never worship the gift and forget the giver. Amen? Never worship that. He's better, and their lives are getting worse. And maybe I can understand why. That as God is doing something deeper in me while my spirit is getting better, why is my situation getting worse? So I had to go back to understand that verse 4 says, because it just doesn't say just anything. Jesus is better. Check this out. Look at it if you have it on the screen. Can I show you this? Can I show you this, you guys? It's going to blow your mind, okay? I know it's going to blow your mind. You're on the front row. It's going to blow your mind. Ready? This is it. You're looking hungry for the Word of God. Let's check this out. Here it is. I know what I was reading, okay? I know my neighbors probably thought I was crazy, and I was walking around when I read this, and here it is. I was excited. It said, he became. You see that? Does anybody else see that? I'm not weird. Those two words are loaded. Having become. My friends, that makes me stop. How could he become better? This is Jesus we're talking about. He's already perfect. How do you get better than perfect? And in order to understand not that he is better, even though I believe that, how many believe God is greater than any situation or anything that's going on, any angel? Yeah, right? How many believe that God is greater than you? I advise you all to think over that one. Really hard. He's better, right? But how did he become better? Read verse 3. So it can be that his character has improved. No. He's the exact imprint of the image of God. You can't get any better than that. It says he sustains the world by the power of his word. You cannot get any stronger than that. So how did he, without blemish, from the foundation of the world, become better? And it's right there in the verse. It doesn't say that he improved. Look at it. Verse 3 says that after he made purification for sins, it says he sat down. He got better by becoming lower. I don't know what's going on in your life today. It seems like it may be going backwards. Kids are stinking, going crazy. Things are more expensive. The bills are stacking. Can't even get a boat book. Everything in your life seems to be more and more out of control. Could it be that God is making you better by taking you lower? I'm just saying. Here's what I read in my Bible, that he will exalt the humble. That if I will humble myself. See, I don't understand how Jesus could become better, but the way he became better, since he was already high and already lifted up, it doesn't say he got any higher, since he already inhabited eternity, since he couldn't be raised any higher, the Bible says that Jesus became lower. Watch this. Jesus went backwards so that you could be better. Let's praise his name this morning, man. I give you, hey, anybody want to stand up right now and give him something? Praise his name. The one who stepped down out of heaven looking like a man, who died on a cross and who was glorified forever. Somebody say, I'm getting better. It's a result of what he has done. So I'm getting better. I'm getting better. Power, the things I used to go back to, I refuse to go back to this morning. When what I have is better, make that declaration. Don't make it before me. I'm challenging you. Say, what I have is better. D.L. Moody, the great evangelist, was talking one time to a critic. I have a lot of his work at home. I got to visit this place in Chicago. Got to stand in the pulpit where he stood. And Pacific Garden Missions and other places of great radio programs in the past. I got to stand there, got to sing in some of these places with groups I toured through Chicago. There was a man, a critic, that literally didn't like his preaching because he made too many grammatical errors. Love that. The man knew better English than D.L. Moody. But not just because you know better English does it make you a better preacher. Amen? Even though the man criticized, he responded with humility to what was told of him. And when a man approached to him and said, I don't like the way you're giving invitations. I don't like the way you give an altar call at the end of your sermon. I don't think it's good. And this guy brought hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people to Christ, right? Okay? This is back in the day when you couldn't leave a comment on somebody else's Facebook. You had to go face to face with them if you didn't like what they were doing. There's no interruption back then. No internet confidence. I like the way you do it. Or I don't like the way you do it. All this stuff happens to pastors. And this one guy said, I don't like the way you're doing it. And Moody looked at him and said, neither do I. Do you have a better way? Do you have a better way of how to do it? And the man said, I don't have any way. Moody said, well, then I like mine better than your way. I know it's not pretty sometimes, and other people's progress can make you tempted to the revert ways of your past thinking, and when you compare yourself to the wrong standard, but in the presence of God, in the presence of Jesus, who is greater than all things, in the eternal Christ, his word is spoken, not only from eternity, my friends, Avalon Church, from time to time, I'm letting you know, when Jesus, who was no sin, no sin in him. Righteousness of God. He says, don't get discouraged in your life. Don't get discouraged by your marriage. Don't get discouraged by any other people, any other person's marriage, bad grammar, good theology, okay, all that stuff. But instead, I want you to declare over your life today, relative to my purpose, there is not a better person to be on this earth, in my position, on my assignment, humble before the presence of God. You know, that makes you better for the job. That's who he's looking for. Than anybody else you know that can do it their way. You're the person he's called. You're the person in this world he wants you to do his business. Improve in this world, whatever it looks like. God's called your name. The great I am celebrates you. Let me tell you something. This morning, you need to know he is better. And he is improving you. And circumstances get better when that happens. If you guys can stand with me. This went a little longer today than usual. And we had other things happen. But I know one thing. I don't need to address this again. Right? I don't need to. I think we get it. Jesus turns around and he says, I've equipped you for your calling. And in the midst of hard things, lower yourself. Be humble. I've got your back. I know there's temptation to go back to the old thinking. And I know that religious systems make a lot of sense to a lot of, you know, calculating people. But I'm going to ask you to risk. I'm going to ask you to have faith. This is not our church. We are body. We are members of the body of Christ, the church. The church. This is his kingdom. He's in charge. We do our best. We live the rest up to God. And you are always welcome here. Me too, with our imperfections, to come before a holy God who makes us better. He's in charge. So when you think, I've got my serve, come on. I've been developing this thing since I was a kid. I've got my ways. I've got my thinking. My dad knew what was right, or whatever it may be. I'm just letting you know. Be open for God to make a slight shift or a pause to remind you who he is and make the shift, make the change. He'll get the serve in. He'll get you in. He'll put you where you need to be. Be patient and take the lowest seat at the table until God promotes you in his good time. That's the place to go. Father, this morning, I hope it was clear. It seems awfully wordy, but I get out of the way to say, it's okay to go back. A lot of crap can hit the fan, as it was to those people that knew a lot of good religious spirit and a lot of good familiar systems. And a lot of junk was about to hit the fan. And I'm letting this congregation know, no matter what lies ahead, God is better. We will be fine. We will be better. We must trust the one who gave everything, the Supreme, who laid it all down, even looked like a man, took death on a cross, went through all of the resurrection and everything in between, to pay it fully. There's a reason that we can be better, and he's paid it. That grace is free, my friends. His mercy is so relevant right now, and it's so needed. I offer that to you this morning. I get out of the way. It's up to you at this point. In Jesus' name, amen.
So much greater than guilt, no shame, no sin, no stain is greater than the great I am. Let's sing it out. No fear, no grave, no other name is greater than the great I am. Do we believe that, church?
No guilt, no shame, no sin, no stain is greater than the great I am. No fear, no grave, no other name is greater than the great I am. No guilt, no shame, no sin, no stain is greater than the great I am. No fear, no grave, no other name is greater than the great I am.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, you are
greater than the mountains.
You're greater than.
So much greater.